This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
To Bezelis, slice inside and throws it down with a power right-handed dunk. Oh, that was filthy. Oh, that was nasty. That's Mattis Bezelis.
That's the play-by-play of Chuck Swirsky on these here very airwaves. The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670. Chuck calling play-by-play of the Bulls. The Bulls play in Houston tonight. 7 o'clock, Chuck's pregame at 6:45. Welcome to the show, because now joining me on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline is Chuck Swirsky. Download the Circa app today. Chuck, that dunk, that was worth all the screaming. That was a thing. He posterized people. I think he's going to do that a lot in his NBA career. You agree with that?
Absolutely, Stephen. By the way, happy St. Patrick's Day, sort of.
A
couple days early. But,
yeah.
You know, one of the best things, Steve, is to be downtown Chicago on a day like today with the river and everything. But you know what? We're in Houston. We start a six-game road trip. And you're right, Bezelis has had some unbelievable dunks.
We are watching Bezelis grow and not grow and wonder if he's hit the high school prom wall, and Billy talked about it. Billy was kind of open about, you know, this is, I'm getting a tired version of him, and he is, the only hammer a coach really has is playing time, and he seems to be using that. This is sort of the care and feeding of somebody who we know will put on weight and muscle and we know wants to be as great as possible. So what's your reading on the Bezelis progress, where the arrow's pointing, what the growth chart is for him?
Yeah, that's a great question, Stephen. I've got a couple opinions about this. Number one, I do believe that what Billy Donovan said the other night to the media regarding Bezelis and the wall, whatever the wall looks like, I think that Mattis is been struggling the last couple of games. He's averaging 7.3 boards, but defensively, I think teams are going at him. And I think that with that, having said that, I think his outside shot has kind of taken a vacation, so to speak. He's won for a last 11 in three-point shooting. He's shooting 21% from three in the month of March. So that tells you that, you know, maybe he doesn't have any lift in his legs. Maybe he's tired physically, maybe, you know, the amount of games. But I'll say this, this kid has a chance to be very, very special. And I say that not based on this year alone, but what he's going to do in the future because of his attitude and his willingness to get in the lab and work on his game.
This segment with Chuck Swirsky is sponsored by Great Lakes Credit Union. Chuck, the growth, the points, the streak that Kobe White is on, And he's now had four games, 30 or more, and he did it the other night against the Nets. And it was a lot of, you know, teams pick a guy. That guy's not going to beat us. We're going to team him all the time. And Kobe faced a lot of double teams and still managed to score. That's part of the growth in his game. Where do you see Kobe White mattering next year for the Bulls?
Well, I mean, you know, we can, if you want to talk about next year, I don't know about next year because I don't know what the roster is going to look like. But I can tell you, Steve, from your assessment of Kobe, you're right. He has seen a lot of double teams now. And, you know, probably teams and their scouting reporters saying, well, you know what, let's have somebody other than Kobe White beat us. But Kobe has kind of defied that logic because he has seven straight games of 20 or more. He's averaging 29 in the month of March. He's taking over 20 shots per game in the month. And that includes, you know, getting to the foul line, where, by the way, he's top seven in the league in free throw percentage, and he's made 44 of his last 46. So the volume of work that what Kobe has done since the LaVine trade, I think, is very, very special, and it's just going to help him, regardless of what happens in the next 4 to 6 weeks with this ball club, but as we move forward.
We saw it against the Nets. Julian Phillips set personal highs in points and assists, and sometimes those games are one-offs that a guy just took advantage of an opportunity. He was there. It was hot. And sometimes they're signs of things. And I think that showed that at least there are places in the NBA where he can perform well. He can perform at a high level. And I want you to assess for me Julian Phillips, where his game is, where he could go, where could he grow? How does he matter more to the Bulls and what we might see down the stretch here?
Yeah, another great question, Steve. So I think what you said regarding what Phillips did the other night against the Nets, 16-7-5, he played 34 minutes. And, you know, you look at his athleticism and you say to yourself, you know, I'd love to see him put, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 games together. And I'm not talking about 16-7, but where he becomes a threat offensively other than the corner where he takes a three. And we saw that the other night where he was slashing to the rim, where he is at times being a playmaker off the dribble, which he needs to develop with his game to enhance his production on the floor. But there's no question from an athletic standpoint that this young man has a chance to be a rotation player with significant minutes. But he's still young. You know, he's only in his second year. And I think at this point in time, you know, he's still kind of trying to figure things out. But the game he had the other night was terrific.
You know, Trey Jones, I did not know much about him. And Trey Jones keeps stuffing the scorecard, the stat line. And he's doing a little bit of everything. And he seems to be saving a lot of the stuff for the fourth quarter. This is, for me, a revelation. Should it be? Shouldn't it be? Or is he just getting the opportunity with the Bulls and showing what he can show late?
Well, you know what, Steve? Here's the thing with Trey. I mean, it's not like people are saying, where did this guy come from?
Sacramento.
San Antonio, actually. But when I say that, I mean, it's not like he was a diamond in the rough. I mean, he was ACC Player of the Year, you know, back 5 years ago. And, I mean, he was the Defensive Player of the Year. You can look this up. I'm just off the top of my head. I remember his career because he was a really good player out of Apple Valley, Minnesota. And he was a, you know, high school American, McDonald's. He was Mr. Basketball. He followed his brother to Duke. And so, you know, this is a really good player we're talking about. And then he was a second-round pick. But I have to tell you something. When you look at what he's done, he was averaging 15 minutes coming off the bench for the Spurs in January and February. He's averaging 32 minutes a game here, Steve. And he has made the most of that opportunity, not only with his assist-turnover ratio, which, by the way, is 6-1, but he's able to get to the rim, and he's you know, he's just a guy where you can plug in. And I think that, and again, I don't sign the checks. It's a pay grade way above me, but I really, really, really like his game. He's a free agent at the end of the year, but I would think, based on what we've seen, and hopefully he can continue to do this, I'm hoping that he remains with the Bulls organization, because I really, really like him. Very low maintenance guy, you know, can start, can come off the bench, and, you know, just a really solid basketball player.
Talking with Chuck Swirsky, voice of the Bulls. The Bulls will be on the air here against Houston to start a six-game road trip. They'll be on the air at 7 o'clock. Chuck's pregame at 6:45. How many pair of dancing shoes did you bring for this trip, Chuck?
I have enough shoes.
Okay. You know? All right.
Just to let you know, I'm not predicting, but I'm just saying that I got some shoes.
Okay, that's a good way to go. I know it differs from NBA people. They don't often pay attention to the tournament because they're watching pro games, and I get that. Do you, with Selection Sunday coming tomorrow, do you watch the selection show? Do you watch the tournament? Do you make it a point to watch the NCAA games?
Well, that's another. Boy, Steve, you're on your A game. You're throwing out me some great questions. Here's my take on college basketball, being away from it for close to 30 years as an NBA announcer. And remember, Steve, I did 18 years of college. I did 14 with DePaul during the Cummings, Aguirre, Strickland, Kevin Edwards, Rod Strickland, Terrence Grant. I mean, that whole group of players when DePaul was DePaul. And then I did the University of Michigan. So, you know, I mean, you could flip the switch and say, how much was I following the NBA when I was in college? Well, here, I really don't watch college until probably, I would say, late February. So I have a grasp, other than the lottery coming up, and I know who's available in the lottery. But I'm talking about, like, what teams are getting hot at this point, who should be, you know, on the A-list as far as potential Final Four. So now I'm getting into the college game. But, you know, the college game, I have to be perfectly candid with you, Steve. I'm very, very concerned about what's going on, and I'm all for the players getting paid, but this thing has spiraled way out of control, where players now in football, basketball, baseball, revenue-producing sports, whatever, and probably other sports, these kids are being re-recruited in season by other schools. I mean, you've got a player that's playing on a university ball club, and all of a sudden you get, you know, from a street agent or somebody reaches out saying, hey, you know what, if you enter the portal, here's what you got coming. And it's a very dangerous slope that we're dealing with. And whether it's that or whether it's a mid-major where these coaches recruit kids, and by the sophomore year these kids have come to a different level of athleticism and performance, and all of a sudden they get an offer from a Power 5 school and they're gone. And, you know, these coaches who recruited these kids when they were in high school that were maybe not even a 3-star, they were a 2-star player, and these coaches helped make them to be a 3.5. It's just crazy now. But, you know, that's the college world we live in.
You know, Chuck, and part of me agrees with you. Most of me sees it as hunting's not so much fun when the rabbit's got the gun. Because all the things you described as players leaving and the chaos that goes along with that is true. But before, it was the coaches could leave at any time and leave the guys they recruited, and there's a sense of chaos and betrayal and abdication of responsibility there as well, and coaches bemoaning the fact that players could leave means they're jealous because they used to be the only ones to have that. I don't know where a just system is, so I'm going to err on the side of saying players can go wherever they want because coaches always have that response, always have that opportunity. Have you ever seen a proposal presented that threads the needle like that?
Well, I still think that if you leave for another school, I'm all for that player has to sit out. that he can't just take the money and go. The other thing, what's happened now with the athletic directors, finally they, you know, kind of like the light bulb went on that these schools who are losing coaches because the coaches were getting bigger offers, these universities now are saying, okay, like, we're going to give you, you know, $8, $10, $12 million a year to coach our football team. But guess what? If you get a more attractive offer, here's the buyout. Oh, by the way, the buyout's going to be $15 million. And so then that school who all of a sudden looks at that coach's contract and says, oh my gosh, you got a $15 million buyout? We're not going to do that. And then on top of that, we have to pay you $10, $12 million a year for the next 7, 8 years. So I do think now that the athletic directors of these schools, if they feel they have a keeper in who they have directing their football, basketball, baseball, volleyball program, whatever, if they attach this buyout, a hefty buyout, I might add, and all you have to do is probably look at some of the college football coaches, let's say top 5 to 10 coaches in the NCAA, both football and basketball, their buyouts are extreme. I mean, they are ballooned. And maybe that will do it. And maybe if a player wants to transfer, they say, great, you know what? You're getting X number million to transfer from school A to school B. We get a piece of it.
That'd be an interesting thing. You pay the school to leave. Because that you're like you talked about the coaches buyout. And there are some big time donors who will pay that buyout to get a better coach or to get rid of a particular coach. We know this big cigar smokers and drinking scotch drinkers, they'll fork it over. Be interesting.
Absolutely. Steve, I got one thing, and I know we're running short on time, but I have a question because you've coached, or you've rather covered coaches throughout decades and players. And here's my thing about transferring, and maybe I'm too blind to understand the components of this. You know, all these, some of these kids are working on their third school in 4 years, 5 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you transfer from an academic standpoint, I mean, don't you lose credit hours? I mean, it's not like you'd say, I'm going from school A to school B, and by the way, I've got, you know, 42 credit hours, and they're all going to be, you know, on par with what your school academic programs are, the curriculum. I'm thinking, like, you've got to be losing some of these credit hours where academically you're not a sophomore anymore. You could be a mid-freshman. And I don't know if this is completely – I'm just throwing this out. I mean, I don't know how they stay eligible.
You know what? You can negotiate anything, Chuck. And,
that's true.
And when – and that those transcripts of players getting in are often negotiable. I think the famous – Tommy Amaker story, when he was, I think it was Harvard wanted to hire him, and he said, here's some transcripts. What do you think of these students who want to play, who I would want to recruit? And neither of them made it. And he said, I can't take your job. You just turned down Christian Laettner and Bobby Hurley. So that wasn't negotiable at Harvard, which is understandable, but it might be, and we've seen it negotiable at other places, that maybe the blue buds with the high GPA and stuff like that aren't necessarily holding to that standard for athletics because they can justify it in other ways. And frankly, I know it sounds really cynical, they're not really going to school to be a scientist necessarily, and those that are will continue it afterwards. They're going to school to play in the NBA. That's what we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think this thing, though, I mean, and I'm all for people dreaming, and I'm very, very big on reaching for the stars. But when it comes to sports, you also have to have a reality check. And not everyone who's playing at NCAA Division I school at, let's say, a top 40 program is going to be an NBA player, you know, Steve. It's not happening.
Yeah, well, so, if you got sneakers, you always got hope. That's the way they look at it. Chuck, I don't think we're going to solve it, but it was great talking about it with you. I appreciate your time and your insight.
Well, my pleasure, and have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too. Thank you. Chuck Swirsky, play-by-play of the Bulls. They'll be on the air tonight. Tip-offs at 7. Chuck's pregame show at 6:45. Bulls and Rockets right here on this radio station. You can take a break. When I come back, Okay. I'd never seen a sports wake and bake story like this one. I don't think I'd seen a headline, period, like this. So I'll share it with you, and I'll share the story. We have a Wake and Bake Club meeting that it covers a variety of topics, but this one is quite the thing. I'll share it with you in a moment. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
There's something important I was supposed to do today.
Dopest dope I've ever smoked. Hands down, dopest dope I've ever smoked.
Wake and Bake Club.
I love weed.
I smoke weed every second of every day.
Hey. I am your stoner.
Even Smokey the Bear is going, only you can. I knew this.
We're so high right now.
We're not low.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E. Will you open up the door? Yeah, Dave.
Dave?
Right, man, Dave. Now, will you open up the door?
Dave's not here.
Oh. Hey. Smoke weed every day.
I had the flu one time. Did a gummy bear. I was like breakfast at Bernie's, you know, the dead guy.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go to a party. And I went to the party, and they sat me in a chair, and people sat beside me, took pictures, and I'm sitting there like breakfast at Bernie's.
Smoke weed every day.
Welcome in, welcome back. Wake and Bake Club meeting right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Sports and waking and bacon. Waking bacon often crosses over. sometimes it becomes a point of collective bargaining agreements. See the NBA and the players for that, and other leagues for that, the NFL and players. But this is not a headline I really expected to see. Comes from Rolling Stone. Olympic snowboarder turned drug lord Ryan Wedding has been added to the FBI's 10 most wanted list. Never expected to see that. Sports Wake and Bake Club Nexus. Olympic snowboarder turned drug lord Ryan Wedding has been added to the FBI's 10 most wanted list. Rolling Stone, that was headline Rolling Stone. Rolling Stone detailed this. Ryan Wedding, who was born in Thunder Bay, Ontario. That's where Patrick Sharp played. That's where he was a junior. He competed in the giant slalom snowboarding during the 2002 Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City. I was there. Not at snowboarding, but I covered the hockey in Salt Lake City there. Ryan Wedding finished 24th. Maybe not the best in the world, but 24th. And now, says Rolling Stone, the State Department is offering a $10 million reward leading to his arrest. A snowboarder turned. So, wait, where are we on this? Continues Rolling Stone. Ryan James Wedding, 43, is wanted for allegedly running a drug trafficking operation that regularly shipped hundreds of kilograms of cocaine from Colombia through Mexico, the U.S., and Canada, and for allegedly orchestrating multiple murders to further his illegal drug empire. Last June, Wedding, along with his, quote, second-in-command Andrew Clark, also Canadian, were charged with numerous felonies, including running a criminal enterprise, murder, and conspiring to distribute and export cocaine, among other charges. In September, a superseding indictment added an attempted murder charge against Wedding and Clark. Federal prosecutors claim Wedding, Clark, and other co-conspirators plan to ship bulk quantities of cocaine from Southern California to Canada through a Canada-based drug transportation network from around January 2024 until August 2024. The two men allegedly ordered the November 2023 murders of two people from the same family in Ontario in retaliation for a stolen drug shipment. Another member of that family survived the attack with serious injuries. Wedding and Clark allegedly ordered the murder of another person on May 18, 2024 over a drug debt, the FBI says. This is a snowboarder. And now we know he's talking about putting the snow in snowboarder, right? Clark, who was arrested last October by Mexican authorities, was among 29 fugitives who arrived in the United States from Mexico last week. If convicted, Wedding and Clark could face a mandatory minimum penalty of life in federal prison, according to the FBI.
Wow.
Yeah.
Minimum.
See, you're not old enough to have seen all of the headlines I've seen involving sports and drugs and Steve Howe and the Colombian marching powder and all that went on before this and the 1980s baseball trials and how everything went through Pittsburgh's nostrils and things like that. I had not seen Canadian snowboarder, an Olympic snowboarder, on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. But wait, there's more. Investigators believe that Wedding is living in Mexico, but have not ruled out the possibility that he could be in the U.S., Canada, or somewhere in Central America. Now, the FBI rightfully offering $10 million for something leading to his arrest because they have no idea where he is. This guy might be in your own backyard, Tyler, or maybe Thailand. or the North Pole, we don't know. Well, we've certainly come a long way with Canadian snowboarders, haven't we? It's a bit of a history lesson, Tyler, for you and your generation. Going back to another Olympics I covered, in 1998, Ross Rebagliati, Canadian snowboarder, won a gold medal in the men's giant slalom event. Now, that was the first year snowboarding was a medal sport. 1998 Winter Olympics in Nagano, Japan. Where in Nagano, where Joe Knowles and I of the Tribune walked around, and there was a replica of Colonel Sanders and a replica of Bob's Big Boy. They were on the streets in Nagano, beckoning you to their food wares. The IOC initially stripped Ross Rebagliati of the medal due to a failed drug test for cannabis use, but was overruled by an appeals court 2 days later, resulting in the medal being restored. See, what happened was Rebagliati. The drug sample he submitted, as they have to submit when you win something, when you medal, slightly higher than the threshold used by the International Ski Federation. That's what they were using. The IOC voted 3-2 to disqualify him from competition on February 11th, 1998. Canadian Olympic Association immediately appealed. Rebagliati admitted to having previously used cannabis as recently as April 1997. We're talking 10 months ago. He said his failed drug test was due to secondhand exposure, right? Contact high. That's what he claims. And he's claiming this on the Olympic stage. And there are other words uttered on the Olympic stage. One began with an F, and I think that was alleged to be the first F-bomb dropped in Olympic podiums, although I couldn't verify that. Rebagliati said he was partying with people who were smoking, but he wasn't. And what he said was, they're from Whistler, British Columbia. That's where they got their pot. A morning show, after this claim by Rebagliati, a morning show had the mayor of Whistler on. And he was happily bragging about the strength of Whistler's pot. The mayor of Whistler, BC, where Rebagliati, this man stripped of his medal for cannabis use in the Olympics, said, yeah, it was a secondhand high. It's just really good pot there. And the mayor of Whistler is being interviewed and say, oh, yeah, we have really strong stuff here. Yeah. So Rebagliati was banned from competing in the United States, where like pot is more than half the states, right? We got it legal here? Yeah. 1998? No. So that ruined his snowboarding career. And it was a secondhand thing, but United States clutching his pearls. So that ruined his career. So since the 1998 Olympics, Rebagliati has become an outspoken advocate and entrepreneur of cannabis. That tracks. In 2013, he and his partner launched Ross's Gold, a medical marijuana business. In 2015, Rebagliati launched his own line of glassware and expanded his brand to over 100 stores across Canada and branched out into hemp CBD edibles. He's a respectable businessman. In 1998, Ross Rebagliati won a gold medal, lost a gold medal, got it back because of secondhand smoke, and the pearl-clutching United States banned him from snowboarding. He's a snowboarder. What do you think's going to go on? What do you think they do? Dude.
Smoke weed every day.
Well, he's encouraging that. He went into business. That was in 98. And here we are in 2025. And another Canadian snowboarder is on the FBI's most wanted list. And there's a $10 million reward.
That might be one of the craziest wake and bake club stories I've ever heard.
I just thought I'd bring you the headline and bring you the story and share it with you. We wake and bake, so cannabis is the way to go. Cocaine, not so much. A lot of bad feelings. A lot of people get hurt with that.
That's taking it to another level.
But we have some other items on from the Wake and Bake Club, but I know we have to take a break. So we'll come back with that. There are some wake. There's yet another Wake and Bake sports crossover. So I'll share that with you and some other news. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Smoke weed every day.
Welcome in, welcome back. Another segment of the Wake and Bake Club. Before we do that, the Cubs are in Japan. Maybe you missed that. It'd be impossible. They were there. They played a practice game while you were sleeping early in the morning. They're practicing playing early in the morning. They played the Hanshin Tigers, and the Tigers won 3-0. The Cubs were no hit for five innings. Miguel Amaya broke it up. So he's on the team for next year. Or this year. Cubs will play for real. They'll play the Dodgers for real. And we at The Score, listen to this. Special thanks to Manny's Deli for catering this Tuesday's Mully and Haw watch party during the Cubs season opener in Tokyo. Go to mannysdeli.com or visit them on the corner of Roosevelt and Jefferson. Manny's Deli has been Chicago's authentic deli since 1942. 77 years of delicious. So, you know, one of the more famous ESPN commercials, this is SportsCenter commercials, at least one of the whole series was tremendous, where they'd have real athletes like involved in the hallways and whatever they're doing. One of them was Arnold Palmer making himself an Arnold Palmer. I don't know if you remember that, but he comes through the cafeteria trailed by the late Stuart Scott and Scott Van Pelt, I think. And they're watching Arnold with his caddy carrying his golf clubs. And he puts a glass under the lemonade, glass under the iced tea, mixes them back and forth, tastes them, and then marches on to the next tee, presumably. And the ESPN anchors were left to marvel at the beauty of it. Arnold Palmer making an Arnold Palmer. Well, I want to bring you this from the Cheech and Chong website, cheechandchong.com. Cheech and Chong's high teas, THC-infused iced tea, they are offering you now a Tommy Palmer. Delicious, refreshing tea, HC, with a Cheech and Chong twist. Get the same high every time with a precision dose of 10 milligrams of all-natural THC in each can. Guilt-free fun with only 60 calories. Look at that. 6 grams of sugar, 0 grams of hangover. The Cheech and Chong website's a stitch. 100% all-natural ingredients straight from Mother Nature. It's ethically sourced and has a money-back guarantee. You should read the FAQs. And if you haven't, I'll read them for you. FAQ starts with, wait, THC, are you sure these are legal, man? 100%. We're so sure we'd bet our name on it. Look, we're all about staying on the right side of the law, so we've made sure our THC-infused drinks meet all the necessary legal requirements. That means you can enjoy the ride without any worries. Plus, Tommy doesn't feel like going back behind bars again, so you can rest assured it's A-OK for you to both buy and drink. Talking about the Tommy Palmer. Question, how long till it kicks in? answer. The timing can vary from person to person, but generally it will start to hit anywhere from 10 to 30 minutes in. Give it some time, chill out, and soon enough you'll feel that groovy buzz wash over you like a wave of laughter. And here's, of course, it would be included in the FAQs at Cheech and Chong when they're offering you the Tommy Palmer. Is this really iced tea or just Cheech and Chong's bong water? That's a great question. And the answer, nice. Rest assured, high tea is the real deal, not some funky concoction we found in the back of the van. We've crafted a blend that combines refreshing iced tea with the mind-altering powers of THC. It's the best of both worlds. No bong water involved. Look at that. A Tommy Palmer. Sports and Wake and Bake, a natural crossover. And I got to say, Wake and Bake Club members, WB Club members here in Illinois, congratulations. You pushed the state to a significant number. The governor of Illinois, that would be J.B. Pritzker, is touting the state's record-setting $2 billion in marijuana sales last year. He applauded the thriving industry while criticizing the proliferation of the unregulated, intoxicating hemp market. Of the $2 billion, a record $1.722 billion came from adult-use cannabis sales. That's you, WB Club members. That's you, Wake and Bakers. That's you, standing proud. That's more than double the first year of sales following the market launch in 2020. Last year's total translated into over $490 million in marijuana tax revenue for the state. Look at that. You're contributing to a greater society, Wake and Bake Club members. Quote from Pritzker, numbers are clear. 5 years after we legalized adult-use cannabis in Illinois, we're seeing the economic impact of a thriving cannabis industry. You go, JB. So that's what he said. I think the WB Club should get a shout-out from Pritzker. I think we should be noted here. We established the Wake and Bake Club early on public airwaves. And here's a story you might or might not know. Tyler, I don't think you know this. Tyler Feringel. When Pat Quinn was governor, there was a pot legalization bill on the governor's desk. His desk. Turns out a member of his office was a loyal Wake and Bake Club member. Yes.
No way.
And this was not just any member of part of Governor Quinn's like inner circle. This is part of the law group, the law wing, the legal wing. So they were all in favor of it. And this member of Pat Quinn's legal advisors was a regular listener to Rosenblum and Grody. And a Wake and Bake Club member. And we found out later, promoted the idea to Governor Quinn to sign the bill in our studios during Saturday Suckage's Wake and Bake Club meeting. Wanted to do that. Was unable to convince the governor to do it. Like, Pat Quinn had been on this station a lot of times. White Sox fan. I mean, Pat Quinn had been on Mully and Haw, and been on a lot of times. Talking White Sox, talking sports, a lot of things that come. We've seen Bears and White Sox, and we've seen how much the state has been involved, and they've always been sports fans of some sort, or lied about it. And we were the topic of a conversation where a bill legalizing pot, at least medical marijuana at the time, but legalizing pot was offered, and we were in favor of it, signed the bill during the Rosenblum and Grody show, during the Wake and Bake Club meeting on Saturday Suckage. It was perfect. We just don't get the credit. I mean, we're givers, not takers, certainly. And Rosenblum and Grody, we created the Wake and Bake Club. And just as we created Saturday Suckage, we've been a bastion. We've been the tent pole holding up the score all these years. And what do we get for it? What thanks? We can't get a bill signed in here? Come on. But I love the idea that some lawyer in the governor's office said, I know right where we should sign this, and it didn't happen.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. All right. We appreciate the love, you know, that is shown Wake and Bake Club members. And 847 texture, for instance, Rosie, I appreciate you. It's a beautiful day to listen and toke. Thank you. You're welcome. Yeah. We're here for you. And I actually had to clean up another mess that I told the Tommy Amaker story to Chuck. We're talking about that. So it was when he came to Northwestern. I think in Northwestern interviewed him. They were the ones who said, no, we're not letting Christian Leitner's transcripts and Bobby Hurley's transcripts in. And then he did go to Harvard. I don't know if Harvard would have let them in either, but Tommy Amaker ended up in Harvard. I screwed up that story. But I know there were some blue blood, educational blue blood, turned him down, and Tommy Amaker had presented the redacted name transcripts, and that was the story. 815 texter, when are we having another crosstalk between Saturday Suckage and I'm Fat podcast? I don't know. I talked about it before that I thought there was a story for I sent them a story, as a matter of fact. I sent Jay Zawoski and Rick Camp a story about, I think it was Walker Buehler. I can't remember the pitcher's name, who had a disgusting bout of esophagitis and ripped his esophagus because he ate vegetables.
Dustin May.
Dustin May, there he goes. Yeah,
big Dodger hair, pitcher, you're right.
Yeah, big hair Dustin May. And it was, I just said, sent without comment, that he ripped up his esophagus by eating a salad, I think it was. Rick Camp particularly rails about salad. And not in a good way. So I thank you, Wake and Bake Club members. We're strong. We're doing our best for the state's economy, even if we here at the Wake and Bake Club World Headquarters, Saturday Suckage, go unrecognized, unappreciated. We know you appreciate us. And thank you. So in the words of Angelo, one of the loyal Wake and Bake Club members, puff, puff, pass. If nobody important listened, I'll be back next week. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh yeah.
That's
yeah.
It.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.